actually lean on soramori for companionship and for support. She begins to trust soramori, and soramori in turn kind of like gets to have her little glorious moment where, like, yeah, maybe like Takebe's not like totally in love with her yet, but she's still happy that they're in this companionship, they're in this like supportive relationship. And this just like this really interesting other take of what a romance can look like. One of the other reasons why I think that this story deserves more attention is because the author themselves, Murata, actually makes quite a bit of a concerted effort to communicate with English-speaking fans. I remember many years ago when I was still using Twitter, I had found some of the fan drawings that they created for that show Arcane, and they were like a big like Caitlyn and Vi shipper, and they were replying to and talking to people in English. I think they even like made like they themselves went to the effort of translating their fan comics into English for their English speaking readers. I personally really appreciate that, especially because, again, I really think that people should read Murata's comics. Actually, I've been following Murata's work for a very long time, for like almost 10 years. I used to read their, like, I think it's Love Live fan comics, their Love Live shipping fan comics. And it was just really exciting to see that Catchley's Hands was serialized, and that they continue to make comics. So yeah, I want you to read it. And again, it's just so funny and wholesome and cute. Like, it's like the perfect rom-com. Go check it out. That's Catchley's Hands by Murata. I'm gonna take a breath and share some music with you. Asha with Nina.
We will laugh and I'll admit that I've been Near the center of Delhi, the capital of India, there's a three-story pink building that serves as an unusual type of hospital. Not for people, but for birds. It's called the Charity Birds Hospital, and the institution is over 90 years old. At Charity Birds Hospital, a small staff takes care of approximately 2,600 birds at a time, providing antibiotics, medicine, food, and a safe place to rest for injured or sick birds. Dr. Harafdar Singh, the lead veterinarian at the hospital, says the majority of the birds in the hospital are pigeons, but they also take care of parrots, kites, vultures, and peacocks depending on the season.
Sometimes I feel it's me. I think these birds are thankful to me.
A big city like Delhi can be perilous to birds. Dr. Singh notes that fans in the summertime can trap them and children's kite strings slice into their wings. But anyone can bring a bird to Charity Birds Hospital, where they are cared for completely for free. The hospital is run entirely on donations, mostly from the Jain community, which follows the philosophy live and let live. If the bird does recover, they're brought to the roof of the hospital, where they're given food, water, and other necessities. And at the very moment of their choosing, they take a flight, a free bird again. For Bird Note, I'm Trisha Mukherjee.
You could absolutely break my heart. That's how I know that we're in love. I don't need the symbol of a scar. So put down the knife. We're not swapping blood. Isn't it enough that we strip down to our skin, cold and porcelain, like bathers in a painting? And I told you of your past lives, every man you've ever been. It wasn't flattering, but you listened like it mattered. I feel crazy in ways I never say. Will you still love me if it turns out I'm insane? I know what you'll say, but it helps to hear you say it anyway. Some October in the future, I'll run out of trash TV and I'll be feeling lonely. So I'll walk to karaoke, sing the song you wrote about me. Never once check in the words. I hope that no one sings along. I hope that makes me sad. It doesn't have to be like that. If you rewrite your life, may I still play a part in the next one? Will you find me? I'll be the boy with the carnation pinned to my lapel, who looks like hell and asks for help. And if you do, I'll know it's you. I can't imagine you without the same smile in your eyes. There is something about you that I will always recognize. And if you don't remember, I will try to remind you of the hummingbirds. You know the ones. And the baby scorpion. And the winter lunar halo. And the walk we took in the redwoods. I could go on and on and on. And I will go on.
We're in Love by Boy Genius here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and as we inch closer towards the top of the hour, I'm going to be sharing with you one of my favorite Yuri manga titles, I think. And I think it's kind of underappreciated here in North America. I feel that way, but mostly because it's kind of hard to get through, if I'm going to be very honest. So this one is called How Do We Relationship by Tami Fool, and it's rated for older teens, but I actually would not even recommend anybody who isn't like maybe 21 or 22 and older to read it, and you'll find out why. I'll share some thoughts with you. So college freshman Sayako and Miwa meet as members of their school's band club. When they come out to each other, they do what a lot of young lesbians do when they meet their first other young lesbian. They become girlfriends. This 14-volume series follows Sayako and Miwa's relationship over the course of their four-year college careers. It's a story told with, I think, a lot of thoughtfulness and compassion, as it follows the lives of two flawed people trying to understand self-acceptance, love, and desire. When you look at the cover illustration of the first volume, you might be really struck by the fun character designs and Tami Fool's style. They use like this really cool mix of thin pens and also like thick, bold pens as well. The characters look very cute. They're kind of silly looking. If you like flip through the first volume like really quickly, you're gonna see like a lot of like weird funny expressions on the characters. And in maybe the first chapter, it feels like it's gonna be a rom-com, but actually How Do We Relationship is really not a rom-com. I would say it's really not for the faint of heart. Its focus on Miwa and Sayako, like for a good amount of the time, is about them hurting each other and doing crappy things to each other. They use each other, they are awful at communicating, and I think the story goes into quite a bit of detail on their toxic behaviors. And at the same time, I think that's why people should be reading this story. I think it's a really raw and real portrayal of what it's like being a young person navigating your very first relationship, and growing from that, learning the capacity for love, learning to have more empathy for the people in your lives. There's so much about this manga that makes it feel so lived and grounded, and I think that's what adds so much merit to this story. One of the things that really stands out to me is the fact that Tami Fool puts a lot of effort into updating the clothing choices and hairstyles of the characters as they progress through their college years. And so you're basically watching these young people follow the trends and like discover their style as the story moves on, which I think is really, really interesting. And if you are a person who likes fashion and fashion illustration in particular, and or you're a person who just likes like interesting looking people, beautiful looking people, this, I think this is a really good manga to check out, because visually there's so much thought put into it. Tamifu even like has these author's notes throughout the volumes where they talk about how they design the rooms and layouts of each character and how their character would have decorated their living space. And another thing, so do you remember when I said that a lot of Yuri manga, I personally would not consider it to be 2S LGBT plus literature because it doesn't really explore the lived experiences, issues, joys, and etc. of 2S LGBTQ plus people? Well, I think that How Do We Relationship does make a concerted effort in doing that. Because this story is so much about self-acceptance and identity, it's also about growing up and becoming like a responsible, mature person. There's actually quite a bit of discussion around the issues that queer women face. So, for example, there's this really interesting point in the story where there's kind of this exploration about compulsory heterosexuality. And it's after Miwa and Sayako have broken up. They've stopped seeing each other as friends with benefits as well. And Miwa is quite depressed because she wants to be in a relationship, but she's found that loving women can feel a little bit difficult. She puts her whole self into it, obviously, and she, you know, she feels that there is a lot of intensity and emotion that's involved when she really loves somebody. And Sayako, you know, they're still friends. Sayako makes a really interesting suggestion. Even though the two know that the other is a lesbian and not interested in men, she suggests to Miwa, why don't you start dating a man? You know, it might not be as difficult on you emotionally if you're not attracted to them, but also it's easier to move around in society in that way. And so Miwa does this thing that many a lesbian has done, and we look at for a conventionally attractive man or a man who we think, you know, is pretty good looking, and we try to will ourselves into falling in love with them. Now, this point might seem kind of like silly to somebody who may not be all that familiar with the experiences of lesbians and may not be all that familiar with the concept of compulsory heterosexuality, but this is very much a thing that many lesbians do when they're trying to figure out, okay, what is my key to survival in this society? And there are also a lot of other interesting moments similar to that as well, where the author Tamifu is making some kind of observation, I think, about queer women in Japan. There's this other really... this one is actually quite funny. There's this other really interesting moment in the story where Sayako begins to actually meet other lesbians and queer women who aren't just her exes, and she's discovering for the first time that there is this kind of existing community where the characters live of queer women of all walks of life, of all different ages, of all different hobbies and interests. And for the first time, she's kind of building this community with other queer women who are not her exes. But it begins in a funny way because she ends up getting roped into this community by her ex-girlfriend's ex-girlfriend, which just goes to kind of like speak to the idea that actually the hub of queer women in your local area is very small, and everybody's just like one degree of separation away from knowing somebody else. So those things to me feel like, it makes me feel as though Tommy Fool has either done the research to understand lesbian lives and experiences, that makes me feel as though maybe like they are one of us even. And I think in that way, like it does really make me feel as though this is a story that leans a little bit closer towards the side of the Yuri manga spectrum that is not just provocative and titillating, but also genuinely can be read in the realm of 2S LGBTQ literature. And finally, I just think that this manga is incredibly well written, and it is a story that is told with such compassion and such heart. As I said before, this story is not for everyone. These characters are horrible sometimes. It's really quite difficult at certain points to move through the manga because they are toxic, they are not communicative, they want to hurt each other because they're hurting, and to be confronted by that is, you know, it's really unpleasant at times. And yet the characters are genuinely very sympathetic characters. You understand where they're coming from, you understand the hurt that they are carrying and the reason why they're going out and hurting other people. I mean, I've even cried at a few points while reading this manga because the story is just told in such a loving, caring, compassionate way. There's this chapter where Sayako and her mom are having a lot of tension, and Sayako's mom loves her to death, but it goes on to explore like the struggles of a parent of a queer kid. Like, you love your child, but you were not given a manual to know how to raise and love a queer child in the way that they are supposed to. And this is a feeling, I think, and a realization that I think a lot of queer people end up confronting at some point in their life. And listen, Tommy Fool never lets Sayako's mom off the hook, but they're also saying like, hey, you know, we're human. We make mistakes and then we learn and we grow from them. That theme in general is such a core part of the story when the characters get to that point where they have really matured. It is so satisfying to witness. Ultimately, how do we relationship is the story of two people who deeply love each other. Sayako and Miwa they love each other so much in so many different ways, and they want nothing more to be loved as well. They just don't know how to move through that sticky mess that is called love. A lot of people similarly don't know how to do that, and Tommy Fool is there to show how these two idiots do it. It's a really good manga. I really hope you check it out. That's How Do We Relationship by Tommy Fool. And we are at the top of the hour. I have talked for a very long time about Yuri manga. I hope you consider checking out these titles. You know, Fluttering Feelings by Samba, my special shout out. But really importantly, please give a read for Catchley's Hands by Murata and How Do We Relationship by Tommy Fool. Like two total opposite ends of the spectrum. One of them is like hijinks rom-com. The other one is about like people who hate themselves. We love duality here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. And I thank you so much for tuning in today. I will be sharing more Yuri manga recommendations next week. So tune in for Category 3, which is romances between adults. I'm very excited for that one because my favorite Yuri manga is going to be recommended. So strap in and get ready. For now, tune in to more great CJSF programming. Check out Analog Archives with Danny here on 90.1 FM at 6 o'clock on Thursday evenings. It's a really fun one. And if you miss it, you can also catch it on our archives, our digital archives on cjsf.ca. But Danny basically goes through the physical library at CJSF. He pulls out a couple albums and then he discusses them for an hour. It's just like weird, eclectic, interesting music. If you like that, you'll love Analog Archives. Again, Thursdays from 6 to 7 here on 90.1 FM. Let's do one final song now. I love them. You'll love them. Let's love them here on the show. It's Satine with Music Box here on CJSF 90.1 FM, typically Tuesdays. I've been Leslie, and I'll talk to you very soon. I need a song.